Today's scripture is Acts chapter 13, verses 13 to 14. Allow me to read the words. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidia and Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. Amen. The mission team, consisting of Barnabas and Paul and their helper John, moved on to Paphos, a harbor located at the west of Cyprus Island, and preached the words of God to proconsul Sergius Paulus. Bar Jesus, who was a sorcerer and a false prophet, and an attendant of the proconsul, interfered to try to prevent the proconsul from believing the words of God being proclaimed by them. But rather than succeeding, he brought on himself the misfortune of not being able to see for a while. As a result of this, the proconsul came to firmly believe in God and the false prophet Bar Jesus. When he eventually got his vision back, probably had no choice but to surrender before God. This was the work of the Holy Spirit that the mission team experienced at Paphos. But to Paul, Paphos had a meaning that was more important than that. The following is the testimony of the later part of verse 7. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. The proconsul Sergius Paulus called in Barnabas and Paul in order to hear the words of God from the mission team. The Bible had recorded the name of Barnabas before Paul's. As I have said before, the order of the names in the Bible indicates hierarchy. And so, until then, the head of the mission team was Barnabas. But the situation begins to change from verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas. Here, Elymas refers to the false prophet Bar-Jesus, who had interfered so that the proconsul could not believe in God. The person who had caught the sight of this evil act of the false prophet Bar-Jesus was Paul. The person who scolded Bar-Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was Paul. The person who brought blindness on Bar-Jesus for a time was also Paul. And the person who made the proconsul believe in God as a result of these events was Paul. The fact that Paul was able to see Bar-Jesus interfering so that proconsul could not believe in God also signified that it was Paul who was preaching the words of God to the proconsul. As I said in the past hour, Paul had taken notice of Bar-Jesus before anyone else because Bar-Jesus twisted everything being said so that proconsul would not believe in God's words. In this way, Paul played a leading role by himself among the members of the mission team at Paphos. And today's passage testified to a fact which is even more amazing. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia. The mission team got on a ship at Paphos to go to Perga in Pamphylia. Surprisingly, the text today refers to the mission team as Paul and his companions. The fact that Paul's name was placed at the front, unlike before, meant that the head of the mission team had changed from Barnabas to Paul. And after today's passage, the Bible always places Paul's name in front. As Papo of Cyprus as the reference point, Paul emerged as a leader true to his position. Barnabas was originally the pastor of the church of Antioch, and it was Barnabas who had invited Paul to the church. Therefore, when the mission team left Antioch, it was not possible to contemplate any person other than Barnabas as the leader of the mission team. But in moving on from Cyprus Island, which was their first place of mission, Paul's capabilities became revealed. Barnabas' capabilities were noteworthy in the context of pastoring a church, but in the context of evangelism, Paul's capabilities came to surpass that of Barnabas. Therefore, the Bible notes the mission team as the Paul and his companions from Pabo of Cyprus Island as the starting point. This was to make clear that Paul had become the new leader of the mission team. But this was not done according to the desire of Paul or other members or any man's will. From the time they had left from Antioch, they were being guided by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it was the Holy Spirit who had made Paul take on the role as the leader at Pabo and caused Paul's name to appear in front in the Bible, starting from Pabo of Cyprus. It was the will of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that has caused the focus of the Acts to be placed on the single person, Paul, starting from Pabo. Paul, who had become the head of the first mission team, got on the ship at Pabo. As the ship sailed from Perga, parting the Mediterranean Sea, how could Paul not have lost himself in retrospection? How could he not recall his past hours in looking out into the boundless Mediterranean Sea? In terms of time, at least 17 years had gone by since he had met the Lord on his way to Damascus when he joined the mission team to send out God's love and life to the world. Those years were the years of discouragement in which his will to live as the witness of the Lord in Damascus and Jerusalem had come to nothing. Those were years of loneliness in which he had to train in piety by himself in the Arabian desert. Those were the years of pain and suffering in which he had to seclude himself in Tarsus, his hometown. But all those years were time of grace from the Holy Spirit, which were meant to enable Paul to arrive at the present. Through such times, the Holy Spirit had newly made Paul into the main character of the Acts. If the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, had not been with Paul, these were things that could have never happened to Paul. What is truly thankful is that the Holy Spirit, who was with Paul and who had so newly created Paul, is also here with us now. Today is the last Sunday that ends this year. The motto of our church this year was solely with the Spirit of God. If we look back on our past 1 year, with Paul's heart who was looking back on his past days while crossing the boundless Mediterranean Sea, we can also confirm that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, had also worked in ourselves for us without one inch of mistake. That is the meaning of the last Sunday. Because there is the last Sunday, we receive the grace of looking back on the past year in the light of the Holy Spirit. At this time, we will hear testimonies directly from the three church members about how God had worked in their lives during the past year. Hello, my name is Yun San Jung from Group 369. Until the later half of my age, 29, a religion called Christianity was a faith that was really far from me and had nothing to do with me. In one word, Christianity in my mind was perceived as a religion marked with questions and doubts, paradox and dichotomy. During my school years, we moved a lot because of my father's job, and I went to a Catholic school during early elementary years and to a Christian mission school during middle school years. Since our family had been Buddhist for generations, as I went to Catholic Mass and also had chance to participate in church services, I naturally had the opportunity to compare the three religions in various ways. During middle school, at the age when I was particularly sensitive, the pastor strangely kept comparing me to other kids. Although I had been talking with other friends, I was the only one to be pointed out. My hurt feelings at that time and the bad memory became the reason for me to hate Christianity itself. Even after I came to attend my university in Seoul, I kept watching the restless ongoing evangelistic activities, and I came to hate Christianity even more. Why are they making such a big fuss about their religion? Why are they treating total strangers with fake smiles and hospitality? Why is my best friend going to church, praying for me and anxious about me when I say that I don't believe in God? They're saying that if I don't believe in God, I'm going to hell. Then, those who believe in different religions are all going to hell? I had so many suspicions and questions about Christianity, and every time I had a chance, I asked the questions to my friends and the people that I knew, but no one gave me a satisfying answer. Even if I talked to Christians by any chance, it was true that I couldn't get the image of Christianity out of my mind, which was contradictory, unfair, and exclusive. About 2 years from then, I came to meet my husband. Despite the fact that we did not have special moments, we became closer. I knew very well that my husband had a deep faith in God and led his religious life well. But I didn't feel difficult or uneasy because of religious differences. On the contrary, I realized that my husband has many strengths in terms of character, which were wonderful and respectful. Since then, I feel for myself that my previous understanding of Christianity was being changed little by little. I started to understand the suspicious parts about Christianity through the acts of my husband and reached the question, who is God whom a person like my husband places on the top of his priorities? This question naturally led me to a thought that I would also like to try to go to church. Looking back, it was not possible if Holy Spirit had not come into my heart. Therefore, last March this year, I joined the class for new Christian members taught by Pastor Ijechul at the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church where my husband was attending. Even until then, I had established all the suspicions of Christianity in my mind, believing they were reasonable and systematic. But listening to the lectures of Pastor Lee, who placed my suspicions of Christianity on the logics of the Bible text and worked them out, I was so ashamed of the ignorance of my past. I'm just a beginner of faith, and my faith is too small and too fragile to understand such a deep will and providence of God. But I met God in person and was given a glory to see how joyful and happy to be His children was. Through various activities such as service, Bible study, cell group meeting, Bible reading sections, quiet times, and so on, I came to realize how shallow my knowledge had been so far. Now I have a high expectation of my life ahead. The second life that people usually talk about has begun with my marriage. As such, my new life is also begun after meeting God in person, and I have been Christianized, baptized. To me, who is passive and feels uncomfortable about making friends with others, God says to me through His words, love others, love others, and love others. And He says, show that love in action. I was nothing but an arrogant, rude, and unsatisfactory person, but God has been willingly put up with me, waiting for me, and loved me endlessly in His arms. God made me see that I should love Him as much as He loved me, and as much as I love Him, I should care about and love others around me. Therefore, I am happy and excited every day. I wonder and expect how and where God will use me. I lift up my limitless gratitude and praise Lord who let the Holy Spirit down on me and saved me out of ignorance when I did not even know what salvation really meant. Thank you very much. Hello, I am Kim Hyun-jung of Group 309. It was 2 months ago when I was into the 17th week of my pregnancy. I received a call from my obstetrician and was recommended to take an amniocentesis analysis of my amniotic fluid at the General Hospital because the results of my recent blood test did not look right. The doctor of Severance Hospital, who was specially recommended for me, said that there was less than 0.5% risk of complication for the fetus during the procedure. The doctor tried to reassure me and my husband as we headed to the examination room. But the moment that I felt I was done with the uneventful procedure and was walking out of the door, I felt something flowing down on my legs. My amniotic fluid was leaking due to early rupture of the membranes. My husband and I became victims of a statistically rare complication. I walked in the hospital for examination, but since that day had to lie in the hospital bed under absolute bed rest. For I was under the condition that required absolute stabilization, I couldn't move except for barely turning to lie on my side and moving my arms. I had to deal with not only eating but also relieving myself in bed. Since coughing and sneezing could pressure on my womb, once I felt like sneezing, I had to black my nose with fingers. I made up my mind over and over that if I could save my baby, I would take anything from low back pain and feeling sorry and misery for my husband who came to hospital after work to take care of my excretions. But several days after I was hospitalized, the doctor told me that the amniotic fluid had decreased in amount and I should prepare to say goodbye to my baby. The doctor told me that medically I had no chance to recovery under the given condition, and delaying further could put me in danger. Until then, I was comforting myself, saying that everything will be fine. But after doctor's warning, I couldn't stop crying out of mixed emotions. I was sorry that I couldn't protect my baby that I received at the end of desperate prayers, and even called the beauty tooth as a fetal name while carrying it. I was desperate for God's sympathy to be with us. At that moment, did God move the doctor's mind? Even minutes ago, the doctor, who was decisive about my condition, changed his mind and told us to wait for a miracle just in case. But the doctor also said that we would have to give up the baby if we couldn't see progress in 2 days. For the 2 days, there was nothing that men, including the top doctors at the top hospital, and my family could do for the baby. I let go of my conviction that God will save my baby and the desperate wish that God must save my baby. I just trusted, prayed, and waited that God would work in the best way. I prayed and prayed that for God is the giver and the taker, and therefore, even when He takes the baby for His needs, God, give me the belief to obey His will and accept it. In the process, you have no idea how much strength and comfort the prayers of the pastors and members of my church gave me. 2 days later, I checked the examination results with a trembling heart. Miraculously, amniotic fluid was increasing in small amounts. And 2 weeks from then, I and my baby were safe and could leave the hospital in good health. All the doctors and nurses said that a case like mine, where the one recovers from such serious medical conditions and leaves the hospital, was unprecedented in the history of Severance Hospital. They told me that it was the miracle, but the miracle of God did not stop there. My husband, who risked even a quarrel with me not to take orientations for recognition of being baptized, voluntarily offered a religious confession and declared his faith. We do not know what will happen in the future, but I resolved to move forward with an obedient mind, believing that God, who unite all and achieve goodness, will treat us in goodness with the best of all. Thank you. Hello, I am Hong Sung-pyo of Group 204. I failed in my business with death and was arrested on July 26, 2007 in an additional penalty for economic offense and released from prison on November 30th, 2009. It has only been just a month since I left prison. Therefore, the story of my life for the year 2009 could not but be a prison story. My memory of that day is still vivid in my head. I said to my wife that although the ruling trial opens today, I will be fine and she should not worry. Unlike what I said to my wife, I was arrested without any preparations. Therefore, I had to pass by several days without thinking, like I was hit by a hammer on my head. Not only I was afraid of the strange scene of the prison that I never saw before in my life, but I also couldn't stand the situation where I was victimized. I resented God under the circumstances where everything was a mess. And they tried all means available to turn around the situation, but to no avail. As he became calmed down after time, I began to think what this unreal reality meant for me. My only comfort was the verse in Psalms chapter 119, verse 71, given to me by Pastor Lee. The suffering you sent was good for me. However, my sudden reliance on the Lord seemed like an act of desperation, as I had lived as a Sunday Christian previously. And this made my heart uncomfortable. Nevertheless, I sought for the meaning behind the suffering and began to read the Bible, which I had not been able to do before. During my Bible readings and quiet times, I realized that I had only pursued the worldly values. I then realized for the first time that I was a filthy sinner. I realized that all that I had blamed others for had actually originated from my own greed. God had begun to uncover the scales that had covered my eyes. 1 month before my arrest, a tenant from my large arcade called. He had not paid his deposit money and monthly rent and had contributed to my economic difficulties and thus was not on good terms with me. However, he wanted to pay back for his past misgivings and wanted to help despite his difficult situation while public auction was proceeding. People usually turn away when the property is under auction, and I thought that was very odd. I was short of money for my monthly deposit at the time, and he had helped me out. Afterwards, in prison, I thought over my life and realized that I had lived without preparing like a dummy, but God had already prepared for my future in advance. After that, God had protected my family with miraculous methods beyond imagination whenever they were faced with difficulties. One day, my elder daughter, who is an actor, visited me and told me that many road shows were in schedule from invitations from a foreign company, and the business tie-up with Ansan City had improved the financial affairs dramatically. My younger daughter, who wanted to continue her studies in graduate school, had received full scholarship along with personal expenses. I then knew that I was not the owner of my own life and my family. Moreover, I was free from all the unsolved problems that had been troubling me. Being in prison was not the beginning of troubles, but the beginning of God's healing history. That is when my heart was filled with joy and thanksgiving. I cried while reading the Bible and read Pastor Lee's sermon collections together with John in tears. If only had I known, I wish that I had come to prison earlier. Afterwards, I was moved to the Christian building at Yeosu Prison and became the Bible study leader and conducted the choir and spent a happy time there. I had felt that it might be the most brilliant time of my life. About a month before my release, Pastor Lee sent me Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8 in his letter. Good people will be generous to others and will be blessed for all they do. I was deeply moved. There was hope that the lowly, sinful I could be generous and blessed. On the day before my release, I told my brothers in prison that I had thought it to be hell in prison, but it was heaven. I would be like crossing Jordan into Canaan as I end my days in the desert and leave the door. I know that a new war awaits me at Canaan. I lost the war in the past, in the worldly war, but do not want to lose in the holy war. I thank the Lord for allowing me to live a new life at this old age when I should be summing up my life. Thank you. There is a common feature in the testimonies of the three people. God has reshaped their lives, transcending their own plans or thoughts. Only during the past year? No, not at all. It will also be so in the future. As these three people who have learned this great fact follow God's guidance through the Bible and prayers, they will be used beautifully by God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as was so with Paul day by day. Last week, we have verified that Paul was called Paul after verse 9, which testifies that then Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Prior to verse 9, the Bible referred to Paul only as Saul, and after verse 9, the Bible refers to Paul only as Paul. Saul symbolized grandeur, whereas Paul meant smallness. However, Paul began to be called Paul from Saul at Papo. The city where the Holy Spirit had made Paul the leader of the mission team. This teaches us a great lesson. Paul could no longer be grand in front of God who acted through his life. He threw away the arrogance of Saul and became Paul of smallness. The smaller Paul became in front of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, acted abundantly within his life, and as a result, after today's passage, Paul became the main character of Acts, who let the love and life of God flow into the world. We have 4 days left until the end of this year. During the 4 days, identify the gracious hands of God's Spirit that has performed delicately in our lives during the past year. In front of God's gracious hands, let us all be small Pauls as we tie up and complete the year 2009 and start off the year 2010 on the same extension. As Paul was not able to foresee the history of Acts as he departed Pabo and divided the waters of the Mediterranean on his way to Perga, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will work in a mysterious way in our lives as we welcome the year 2010. Let us pray. Thank you for allowing us the last Sunday of the year while we had lived in a hurry without stopping to take a breath. Thank you for allowing us the great time to reflect upon this past year in light of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for letting us realize that every step I took was in accordance to God's providence. I thank the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, for supervising our lives without one inch of mistake for the past year, and thank you for shaping our lives anew without my knowing. I step forward to God's grace as a smaller Paul with the lowest heart to tie an end to this year and to start off the year 2010 under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, standing on that knot. Bless us with the joy of being used as the instrument of God in entirety. Please use our body as a passage to flow your love and life into the world. As Paul parts the currents of the Mediterranean Sea onto Perga, without knowing the great historic acts ahead of him, make a knot and complete this year 2009 as small Paul and unfold the new acts as we head towards the year 2010. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.